Many churches have outdoor signs on which they post weekly or monthly words to live by. And there are publications and social media, internet services, and even bumper stickers do the same. They present words to live by. Many are thought-provoking, spiritually motivating, and some even mindless, ridiculous, and funny. I've seen all kinds, and you have also. For instance, if you were not here, where in the world would you be? Whatever you are, be a good one. Well done is better than well said. Character is doing the right thing when nobody is watching. That's an interesting one. Do what you can with what you have, where you are. And one that was very popular and still is practice random acts of kindness and senseless acts of beauty. All the best things in life are not at all. Words to live by are almost endless and can fill volumes. Each are designed to make us stop and think. But very few, if any, capture the totality of life. They can be helpful and even lead us along the way, but are not the way in and of themselves. Words to live by, maybe yes, but there is more. Following the same train of thought is the question, what do we live for? The answer to this can be as mundane or as meaningless as some words to live by. You know, ask the question to a Baltimore sports fan and maybe you'll get, I live for the day that the Orioles will win the World Series again. Or the Ravens will be in the Super Bowl again. You know, there are those fans that are so consumed by the game that they actually live for the moment of glory. Of course, as it is right now, the Orioles are again out of it, and the Ravens, who knows? The wait could be very long. Now, there are others who have more important things to live for. Parents who live for their children to be successful and happy. Grandparents who live for their grandchildren to grow up and be happily married. And young people and young adults live for finishing school and finding a job, and perhaps finding their lifelong partner. There are those who live for a promotion in their job, or to buy the latest cell phone. There are those who live for a closer relationship with their spouse and families, or just a close relationship with someone to love. Sadly, there are far too many who live for the next fix or their next high. We live for all kinds of things. We spend our lives our time, our talent, and money in order to try to obtain our personal objectives. The tragedy is that most of what we live for leads us down the path of a dead-end street. We can glorify what we live for so that it seems to be good and worthy. We can rationalize why we choose such a pursuit in life. We can even cleverly combine words to make what we live for into words to live by. All which sounds good on the surface. But regardless of what we do, we come back to the same dead-end street. We may reach the objective or live the words to live by and find our lives still wanting and in search of more and more and more. Therefore, our lives seem to constantly go in different directions, not knowing where we are headed or even what we believe or what is ultimately important. To many, all this comes to a head when we face a life-threatening or changing crisis. All that we have lived for comes crashing down around us. It often takes a crisis to say, is that all there is to life? It is a crisis which often helps the alcoholic or drug addict to see the reality of their lives and their future. It is the crisis which often is necessary to bring change. This is not just limited to the individual, but for societies and nations also, which we so evidently see today. I know that many among us have experienced times of crisis in our lives. And I know we have asked ourselves, is that all there is? Now, sitting in the ancient Roman prison, Paul could have very well echoed that question. Is that all there is to life? After all, he was imprisoned, awaiting the fate of his life. Would it be life or would it be death? Would he even be able to see his churches again, or would his life end so abruptly in the darkness of the prison? His thoughts turned to his favorite church, his favorite people in Philippi. In his letter to them, Paul's words are warm and personal and compassionate. He writes, "It is right for me to think this way about you because you hold me in your heart. For all of you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in the death, defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I long for all of you with the compassion of Christ Jesus." In these words, you could feel the emotion, the compassion that he had for this church and his people. In his crisis, Paul turned to his beloved Philippians. To them, he shared his innermost thoughts as well as his anxiety and his turmoil. You know, that is the case when we are in crisis and find that we need family and friends to turn to. We all have experienced that. How close family and friends and what they mean to us. What the body of Christ, the church, means to us. And we need to share our innermost thoughts and anxieties and fears with those with whom we love. You know, Paul did just that in sharing the reality of his life and death situation and the struggles he had with his situation. He knew that death presented him with the triumph over the flesh, triumph over life, triumph which would bring him into the eternal presence of God. What could be better than that? This is what his life lived for. This is what he longed for. To be in the presence of God throughout eternity was his ultimate goal and objective in life. He wrote, "My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better." But this desire, this choice, if it was up to him to make, was admittedly selfish. What a dilemma. For on the other hand, to live was to benefit the church and spreading the good news and sharing that love with his fellow members of Christ. He could continue to share Jesus' message of love and hope and continue to live that. He wrote, "Since I am convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with all of you for your progress and joy in faith, so that I may share abundantly in boasting in Christ Jesus when I come to you again." This is the other side of what Paul lived for, the joy of witnessing to his faith in Christ, the joy of being with the family of believers. This was the dilemma, to live totally in Christ through eternity or to live the joy of witnessing his faith in Christ. Now, out of this dilemma comes the most perfect words to live by. The ultimate confession of what to live for. "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Beautiful words. With these words, we need not travel dead-end roads. With these roads to live for, we never need to ask, "Is that all there is to life?" Paul's confession covers the totality of life, to even death. It gives us what to live for day in and day out, a life in Christ. This is the life which lives a message of love and hope, as well as paving the way to the future, living forever in God's loving presence. You know, I always turn back to these words of Paul. I cannot think of any better words to live by. They are the culmination of the Christian experience and the ultimate statement of faith. Words to live by are just that. They direct our living and guide us through all the circumstances and crises in life. Now, following this confession, Paul gives insight into how we can come to the point in our lives in which this confession becomes a reality. He instructs the Philippians, only live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come to see you or in absence and hear about you, I know that you are standing firm in one spirit, striving side by side with one mind for the faith of the gospel. Paul maps out the road to travel. We must live our lives of being a follower of Christ. Are we worthy or unworthy of this? The mirror we look into will tell us of our worthiness. What will that mirror reflect? Will we see Jesus? Or will it just reflect an incomplete image of our lives? To help us see Jesus in that mirror, we need each other as a fellowship of believers. We help each other to stand firm in the life and faith of the gospel. We need each other as we individually or collectively face life's crisis. We need each other. The good news shows us what to live for and leads us to the joy as well as the dilemma. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. To be able to make this confession is to begin to know God and to see Jesus in the mirror of life. I can think of no better words to live by than, for to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That's what it's all about. Amen.
Peace the Lord be with you always.
Amen.